being a Christian and being in love with the Lord is not easy. It takes work. It takes a daily dedication of your heart. It takes a dying to self. And a lot of young people don't want to put the work in.
I just wish that I'd learned sooner, and I'm still learning, to not live by my feelings, to not trust in my feelings. The Word of God is the truth. No matter how you feel, no matter what things look like, the Word of God is the truth. And that's what we have to build our life on.
Hi, welcome to the Heart to Hope podcast. We're your hosts. My name is Megan.
And I'm Sally. And we're here to talk about when it's hard to hope walking with Jesus and walking out our faith.
We're passionate about seeking revival for our generation and believe that a key to that is by pursuing authentic, personal relationship with the Lord, even when it's hard.
So we're here for the journey of taking things from our heads to our hearts. So come along with us and we'll walk it out together.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to the podcast.
We are super excited. We have the moms on today.
Yes.
So go ahead, Sally. You can introduce your
mom. All right. So we wanted to, today's episode is like kind of bridging the gap between the older generation and the younger generation. I think a lot of times there's a wide gap there and kids think that their parents don't understand or the older generation doesn't understand and they want to kind of divide from them. And the older generation has a lot of wisdom and good things to share. And that can be lost on young people because we're a little bit proud. Stuck up. Anyway, so we have each of our moms on today. My mom is Heather, if you want to say hi.
Hi, I'm Heather.
So that's my mom's voice, and she has a lot of wisdom. She has 6 children, homeschooled most of us all the way through, and does a lot of amazing things. She's a doer, go-getter. And we love her. So that's Heather.
We told them not to talk over each other, and now they're just making gestures at each other. And then we have my mom, Patrice, on. I think I've used a quote from her almost every podcast episode.
Yeah.
Because she's super wise and wonderful, and I'm super happy to see that she's my mama.
Well, good morning.
Wouldn't be here without her. And excited for you guys to get some of her wisdom today, too.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. All
right, let's go for it.
All right. So one thing that I think of, honestly, when I think of both of you moms, just like how to relate to your young, for you guys, probably your children in a lot of circumstances in life, because you guys are super invested in all of your kids. You each have a lot of them. So how to like relate to young people in seasons of life, the different ones they're going through that you've obviously already been through. But how to relate back to them with grace, because I think you both do that really well, and I know that us kids have been a challenge for you moms. So I don't know how you guys can speak to that, but just relating to your children in their seasons when we're going through things that you know we'll get through, but we're freaking out, and you're like, it's okay, but also meeting us with grace, and how you do that, because you both clearly
Got any thoughts, Patrice? Anything?
Well, my initial thought was when you guys were young, certainly felt like I didn't have the grace when you were younger kids. So I'm just sitting here thinking how, as a mom of young children, how we literally, in those younger years, the Lord was refining us, like teaching us how to deal with situations, because when you guys were little, we were probably kind of going through some of that stuff ourselves.
Right.
Trusting the Lord, wondering what is the next day going to bring, you know, finances, just not knowing how things are going to go each day. So I think during that time when you guys were younger, there was definitely a lot of refining that was going on in us. And I think another thing is, too, Heather and I were saying how right now we don't see each other a lot, but when we did have younger kids, we spent a lot of time with other women. And so, like, we were gleaning from them, and not only moms that were our age, but we also had older women that we were part of that were investing in us, too. So they were imparting things to us that we grabbed a hold of. And then we were really hungry for the Lord, too. I mean, we still are. But when you have young kids at home, you're just like, you know, you're really hungry for the Lord. And so I guess what I'm trying to say that as you guys matured, we matured with you We didn't start out like that way. We had a process that we went through with you guys when you were younger, and we learned a lot. And then as you're doing that, you have more grace because you just, you know yourself that you're so fallen and how you are in your own home with your own kids. And, you know, either you've lost your temper or you've said something you shouldn't, or you didn't handle a situation well. Mm-hmm. Then the Lord is revealing to us then that we need His grace. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be one way that as we've mothered and we've matured in it, we've been able to see that grace is the answer. Yeah. And you ladies, I just listened to your podcast that you released yesterday. And it was a lot about grace. And it was how we we forget about it as Christians. We do forget about it. And I was challenged by that, actually, again, to remember when you're walking with other Christians that you can't be like, oh, you should do this. Mm-hmm. Just to have that grace. I don't do it perfectly by any means at all, but that would be my answer.
That's good, Patrice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for going first.
I got you pumped. Go for it, head. Let her rip.
I always make Sally go first.
Turn on a recording and suddenly I'm nervous. Like, normally I'm just, I don't mind sharing it all, but when I know I'm being recorded, I'm
exactly.
Like,
just look into our eyeballs.
I feel like I grew, like you were saying, I feel like I grew as my kids grew too, and that I did, I think, looking back, have a lot more grace with my younger kids than I did with my first children. Just because I was younger, I didn't have any experience. Exactly. I was parenting out of more fear equals control. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, those two things go hand in hand. They're not kingdom. They're not from the Lord. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we go into that in our flesh thinking, well, I know what I did, and I don't want my kids to do the same things I did, because I made mistakes. I had bad things that I chose, you know, when I was young. And you don't want that for your kids. You want them to do everything right so that they can have all the blessings of righteousness. Because we know it's true. You get blessed when you do things the Lord's way. But as parents, we can't ever apply control to our children. Mm-hmm. We have to give freedom, even in, you know, seeing them do things that we're like, no, I don't think that's wise. But God, you've got them. Like, I trust you, not I trust in myself to control this. Yeah. And I think that I did that better with my younger children than I did with my older children. I, you know, they broke me in.
Yeah, I wonder if we had, like, our older kids sitting here, each, our two oldest each, and they, if they would say, oh, you have such grace, Mom.
Yeah, that's funny.
They probably would say something different.
I know.
But, you know, this I recall to mind, and I have hope. His mercies are new every morning.
Amen. Yeah. And there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Yes. And we do. We don't listen to that condemning, you know, regretful kind of thing, because it just isn't the Lord. But
for sure.
Yeah. But I think even what we're talking about, too, is carrying it over into, and we're both now adults and out of your homes, but feeling as if you guys are still talking to us with grace, and right, is that kind of what?
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't we? You're out of our home, so.
Oh. What do you mean?
Well, I think once you leave the home, sometimes there's more grace.
Oh, yeah.
Our interactions aren't daily interactions with you. And when we do see you, first of all, we're always thrilled to see you and spend any time with you. And then when we are, it's, I mean, yes, of course, it's the usual this discussion, but often you do bring us into things that you're struggling with.
Yeah.
So I think that that's kind of because we're not with you every day. When we do see you or hear from you, it can kind of be like, be like that. And I mean, you're our kids. We absolutely.
But not everybody has that.
Yeah.
Is the reality of it.
Yeah.
That not everybody has moms.
Right.
Who are invested in that.
I know Heather, like, I've witnessed her, that she pours the same grace into young people,
into other people who aren't
her kids.
True.
Mm-hmm. Who aren't her kids.
Yeah.
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 Well, didn't you have a question that you were going to
ask about that, well, like, with being able to... So I think it's not even that people sometimes... Like, they do have someone they could talk to, but they just don't open up. Like young people do have someone in their life who'd be willing to, whether it's their parent or not, like, seek them out and be that person, but the young person isn't willing to...
I was going to ask a question about that. I haven't written down about that?
Yeah, I thought you did.
This one?
Yeah. I just remembered. Yeah. I just had a memory come to me. This is an aside. Can edit this out if you want to, but I'm just going to say it because I'm just remembering that one time I was really low. I was a young mom. I think I was, I'm sure I was overwhelmed. When wasn't I overwhelmed?
True.
And I was losing it. I was down. Yeah. And you came and sat in the living room with me at the farmhouse. I'm sure you don't remember it. But it was so,
yeah.
Patrice just came and counseled me and encouraged me. Mm-hmm. It was powerful. I'll never forget it.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. So that's thank awesome. You. She was an older sister in the Lord, not that much older, but just a little bit ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Just a little.
Just a little. Yeah. Like a big sister.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you, Cheryl. Aww. You know, I had some sisters. That was the thing about Rhema for me. I had, my friends were a little older than me.
Right.
Except, you know, I had Tish, but most of my friends were, you know, a few years older than me, and it was really important in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Yeah.
Cindy.
Yeah.
Okay, so the question Sally wanted me to ask was how, and I think it actually will go with that too. I'd love for you guys to speak more into that, like, sisterhood and vulnerability in your community. Because I think it all goes together, just fostering openness, fostering vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Like, so what we're saying is we feel like you guys have fostered that with us mm-hmm. and with other people who are not even your children. Mm-hmm. Just the space to share, the space to be counseled, which obviously goes both ways. It goes with the person who's counseling and the person who has to have a desire to be counseled. But I think that goes with friendship too, mm-hmm. right? Just like, just speak into what it looks like to be someone who someone is willing to come to, or to go to somebody's living room and just sit on their floor with mm-hmm. them, but also to be the one who is, like, looking for that, I guess. Mm-hmm. Can you guys speak to that? Across generations, just in your generation.
Either way. So, just that it's important, is that what you're... Yeah, I mean, for sure, that was really important to me.
And how to, like, hone it, right? Like, how to actually do that, where it's like, I want to be vulnerable with you and, like, be willing to have those conversations and get to a place of, like, actual depth and not just, like...
Right,
I don't know, between generations and just, like, peer relationships.
Yeah.
Is what you're asking.
I mean, the Lord created us for family. Mm-hmm. And everyone is hungry and longing for family mm-hmm. and a place of safety, a place of belonging. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't have that in their family of origin. Mm. Like, a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
And I didn't really. I mean, I came from a Christian home, but it was not a real healthy, safe mm-hmm. kind of home in a lot of ways. And so when I was a young wife, as soon as I got married, I was looking for sisters. Mm-hmm. I just was. Mm-hmm. I was looking for sisters who I could relate to, who I could be close to, who I could learn from and share with and stuff. I was just, I think that's just a kind of natural longing in the human heart.
Yeah.
And so just to be, I guess, to be humble about that. To mm-hmm. It took me some time to learn to be willing to show that I was needy, that I needed other people, that I needed to just be together. Mm-hmm. Or I had, I didn't have it all together.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So does that
kind
of answer your question a little bit?
That's good. Yeah. I agree with you, Heather. There are a lot of people, women, young, old, all ages that desperately do need to have that. And I think one of the keys is being available, availability. Mm-hmm. As you know, both Heather and I, we didn't have jobs outside the home when we were raising you guys. Well, Heather homeschooled. But what I mean by that is that you weren't committed to a 9-to-5 schedule where you had to be someplace else to go to work. And so you're available a little bit more to take the time to be able to have that kind of friendships, like what we were talking about you know, just being together with older women our age. But even now, I think one of the important things was I'm at the point that we are at, we are, well, I'm an empty nester. Heather, you're not an empty nester quite yet. But anyways, which is, it's okay that you're not. The point I'm trying to make is that your eyes, I think when you are willing and you tell the Lord that you are available, He will bring mm-hmm. you people. Mm-hmm. He will bring you young women or whoever it is. He just will.
Yep.
And then make a connection and not to be just like, say, oh, I really think that you need to talk to me about something. Just basically yeah. you're developing. That's what you ladies do too right. with your coffees and stuff. You're just yeah. developing, you know, relationships. Yep. And then, and it could just be something simple as, you know, they have a need, like they need a ride someplace, and you mm-hmm. you do that and you develop mm-hmm. develop a relationship there. It's, I think it's that kind of thing. But I really do think one of the big things is availability mm-hmm. to be able to do that
yeah.
and just to take the time. And when you meet small needs, well, we think they're small, but to somebody a ride who doesn't have a car right. or can't drive is a really big need. Yeah. But when you meet needs like that and you, or whatever it is, and you're willing to do it, then they somebody may feel more valued mm-hmm. and yeah. want to mm-hmm. pursue that more. But that's you good. Really have to develop relationship.
Yeah, trust.
And trust. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
I love that. That's big.
I remember I liked going to, I went to ladies group. Anything that was happening at church, I was
loved
there
ladies group.
Because I yep. wanted the fellowship.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Nancy Erb was a really great example to me. And I still think of things that she said.
Me too.
Even now, especially because I know that back then she was kind of at this stage of life mm-hmm. more. Mm-hmm. And I think, oh, I remember Nancy saying something about, like, menopause or something like that. And I think, oh, good, I'm not
did you
weird.
Whisper that? We need to say that. We need to be more open about
shout it from
menopause.
Menopause! Because my girls are like, I can't mention that. They're like, ew!
Oh, I'm not you either.
There's all this, my pet peeve is there's all this information available in this. And talk about child rearing. And then you, like, hit menopause and you go, shh, don't talk about it.
It's like taboo.
Like, I'm dying. Go ahead, Nancy.
I know. It's, you guys, it's a real thing. It is. It's rough. But I remember
maybe
Nancy.
Maybe while we're talking,
she
back
said the B-I-C-C-H word.
Oh, but yes. She, I remember when she did that. Did you what she said? Mm-mm. Nancy said the B-I-T-C-H oh. word.
Yep. In ladies group.
Nancy Erb.
Like, she didn't say it in, you know,
right.
she used it as a way of she the way she was feeling.
Feeling, yep.
And
what?
I was like... Like, first of all, we're allowed to say that in church. but also, like, it was really cool that she was so real about
yes.
it. Like, there is so much life that is imparted to other people
yeah.
when someone is just willing to be
real,
about
yes.
that kind
yep.
of stuff.
Yes.
Like, the kind of the ugly side. Like,
yeah.
because we're not, I think that the enemy always wants to make us feel like we're the only one.
Right.
We're weird.
For sure.
We're particularly bad. We're a failure.
If
you know,
anybody really knew what I was thinking right,
right.
now, they wouldn't want
everyone
to be
would,
my friend.
Right. And when someone comes right out and says something like that, then you go, oh, good. I'm in the right place.
Yeah.
I'm in good company.
Yeah.
I'm normal. I'm just another woman.
Yeah.
You know, and I literally think about those things sometimes now because I'm like, oh, my word, what is going on with me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's normal.
Yeah. I yeah. think Heather and I have a new podcast we're going to do. The Menopausal Women.
Yes! You guys could start it. Oh, my gosh.
She needs our equipment. I've sworn on the podcast before, and Taylor's like, grr.
I was like, you can say your little words. You can do that.
She's like, I'm not going to do that, but you can say whatever you want.
I said, all oh says hell.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Oh,
my word. I feel like I want to ask a question about what you were talking about earlier about control, and then I'll let you
okay.
take back over to get back onto your bridging questions, I guess.
Oh, the parenting out of fear.
Well,
that.
Well, just, yeah, I guess that I've never thought about that as it's fear, as it's
mm-hmm.
that it's because of something that you went through that's what you parent out of. I'm not a parent, so I've never really made that connection,
mm-hmm.
but it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just thinking about just both of you, and you can be as vulnerable or not vulnerable about this as you want, and you also want to protect people and things, but you've both raised children, released them into the world, and kind of what you said, like, release them. But I know, like, when you were talking, you made it sound easy, but I know that it hasn't been easy.
Oh, no.
Like, when you were saying it's like, yeah, now they're on their own, and they do what they want, and that's their decision. But I know that you've pored over that in prayer about the decisions
still
you're
am.
Making. And
yeah, still am,
so
for sure.
To raise children, to raise them in the Lord, and release them and kind of have what may, but I'm still covering you in prayer, but also you make your own decisions and things like that. I guess I would love to hear... Mm-hmm. What that journey has looked like for you guys?
I'm willing to go first on that. I would say now being a parent of adult children is more heart-wrenching than it was when you guys were in the home. And probably because, you know, I saw you could speak into it. And now that being adults, it's you see things and you know your kids are going through some things, and you really saying something doesn't, it just isn't called for at that point unless you felt that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do that. Because one of the things, and Megan, you know this, that Dad and I have talked about as you guys have gotten older, is one of our things is that we want to always maintain relationships with you guys. We don't want to not have a time where any of you feel like you can't come home or you couldn't call us because of something of a way that one of you are walking in at that point that Dad and I, that we don't agree with or we feel is doesn't line up biblically. And because we've seen it in my family on my side, I have two family members that literally haven't talked to each other in I don't know how many years it's been, and it's heart-wrenching to watch it. And so I guess that's been one of the things, is that we always want to maintain relationship with you guys, but that doesn't mean that I make it sound easy and lighthearted and fun, but no, there's still a lot of being before the Lord, praying, and, you know, each of you. We just want favor of the Lord on you guys. And sometimes when you're going through something, and at times you'll come and ask us, and we may not have an answer for you when you do ask us, which is okay, I guess. It's kind of struggles for me, or it's a struggle for me to not have an answer. I would just want to have the wisdom and say, oh, just do this, Meg, do this. But it's your journey, and you guys needing to be hearing from the Lord yourself. So it is. It does feel like less control, but we're not meant to. Because I think ultimately, I was just thinking about this the other day, actually, is... as each of you have gone out from underneath us and gone into the world, you are also reestablishing or going out from underneath us as parents, and our relationship with the Lord kind of, it tendrils down to you, and then you have to develop your own.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a lot of times where struggles can happen.
For sure.
A little bit of, you know, rift between parents and kids is when we watch that, and we just kind of have to just, just say, Lord, they're yours again. And that's what we want, though. I mean, that's what we want you to have, that your own established deep relationship with the Lord, and it not to be a tendril or whatever, tentacle of ours.
And it has to come with a little wrestling, a little bit of friction.
It absolutely. Well, we didn't get there without friction and wrestling and same thing. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, I talked too long, Heather.
No, you didn't. That's so good, Patrice. And I think that, you know, watching your kids go through things, even making decisions that you know are not wise decisions. You know, I think of the parable of the prodigal son and the father who gave him his inheritance knowing that he wasn't in a place to handle that wisely. Like, he knew his son. He loved his son. And he's a picture of our father. He doesn't he doesn't always prevent us from doing the thing that's going to be really, really hard on us. Yeah. He didn't like it. He doesn't want us to do that, but he allows us the freedom to do that, and his grace is always there waiting for us when we come to our senses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so with our own children, to go, I don't see this as wise, but I know the Lord, even if that happens, is going to use it for your good, because he's always going to be pursuing. He's always going to be redeeming and drawing. And,
Amen.
You know, and so we just simply, we can say, I trust the Lord, and I know he's using every situation he allows for the good of those who love him.
I simply trust, then I'm going to take it back, then I'm letting you go, then I'm taking you back.
It's just that decision that you have to keep on making making. It's not a feeling, right? It's just that decision. I do trust the Lord. Yeah. I will trust the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, it's moment by moment sometimes. Mm-hmm. But.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I love hearing you share that, because Sally was sharing about walking her dogs on a leash and how she'll let them go off the path a little bit because she just knows that they're... need to sniff around or whatever. And then sometimes, and then she'll draw them back in. And it kind of reminds me of that a little bit. Yeah. Just the,
I love it.
I have one more question.
Oh,
I love it.
Going back to the fear and the control and all of that. I remember one time, this was way back when we used to do camp meetings over at Happy Hollow.
Good times.
Yeah.
Do you remember this? Phoebe's there too.
Those were so formative.
They were crazy. I mean, like, you guys, the little kids are running around and whatever. Just and we're trying to camp with all of you. But anyways, I just very specifically remember one time I had gone up. Well, I went up for prayer almost all the time, but I was up. I was there praying and. Pastor Penn came up to me and he goes, you parent out of fear, not out of faith. And I go, I do? I didn't think that I did.
Yeah.
And he goes, He goes, that's something the Lord wants to teach you is to not parent out of fear, but parent out of faith.
Mm. You guys were both talking about just how hungry you were for the Lord. And I actually was like, oh, that's interesting, because I feel like I don't even have kids and I'm in a place of, there's lots of opportunity for distraction where I can, like, I am hungry for the Lord, but I feel like that can kind of get masked sometimes with distraction or whatever. And you guys were both hungry in the midst of having 5 to 6 children. And then you were talking about just going up every time at prayer meetings and stuff like that. And I feel like some of that humility is gone right now in our generation. Which I don't want to cry, that saddens me, that hunger. I feel like some of that's gone. Would you speak to that? What it means, like, how to, I don't know, were you just hungry, like that's just how it was, or what did you tap into? Does that make sense? Like,
because we've lost like the desperateness of like desiring more.
I think so. I'm hungry and I desire for my generation to be hungry, but even though you're saying I went up every single time, to me, I think someone would, if I said that to somebody of my age right now, they'd be like, that's embarrassing. I don't want to go up every single time to the altar.
So when you say, first of all, when you say generation, do you mean as a whole or do you mean in the church?
I guess in the church.
Okay.
Yeah.
At this moment in the church.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you mean.
Do you see that? Am I totally off? Is that just something I see or... You can be honest.
Okay. We're going to Revive Church right now.
Okay.
And I can tell you there's a lot of hunger.
Yeah.
I mean, things are happening there. There's a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels a little bit more like maybe what it used to feel like to me. It's just maybe
and
it's
I don't know that
church
people,
culture thing.
I don't know that people aren't. I don't know that the young people aren't hungry. I think they don't know what to do with it. Maybe
so
because I know a lot of young people who are.
Right.
I think they are, but don't even quite know where to go with it.
Right.
I guess.
I would say to that, we were in when we said that when we were at that point, we were in a community. It was demonstrated for us.
Yes, we were.
That all age groups were hungry for the Lord. So I would say, actually, Megan, that really I feel like it doesn't fall on your age group as much as it does on, like, mine, we need to be demonstrating that again. And I don't think that we are.
That's good.
I do see the hunger in somewhat, you know, in in the young ones. And I really think that a lot of it does go fall back on us. Again, it's part of that discipleship, discipling that, mentoring that, that hunger. And I think when we were younger moms, the community that we were in, the church that we were in, that was, it was, we met on Sunday mornings, we met on Sunday nights, we met on Wednesday nights. There was a hunger and it was being...
Tuesday ladies group.
Lady group, it was being fostered. It was being... It was
fueled.
Fueled, that's a good word. That is a good word for it. So, but continue, I mean, continue to pray. Pray not only for your... for your generation too, but even like that's just such a good wake-up call to back to me for us that we really we need to be doing that.
I feel like that's almost a good segue into what your heart really was behind this episode. I'm trying to get back to whatever you wanted to do,
which is
but that we all like we're all on the same playing field as far as our need for God
absolutely
and our that kind of number.
I don't know that I had a specific direction. Like, I sort of did, but yeah, I think that one thing that comes up for me is like, why is, so you were talking about losing that desperateness or hunger. You were talking about it being on our generation, Patrice, to, or your generation to like steward that. But like, it seems like there is like, not to use the word hope so much because it's literally the podcast, but like hope deferred makes the heart sick. Like this sort of like, oh, like I was hoping in that, but then it, like, didn't turn out the way I thought it would, and I see a lot of, like, I don't even know what it is, but it seems like a lot of, like, church hurt that people bring up now, like, my age group, I don't know about yours, but, like, people feel like, oh, I was, like, hurt by the, sort of, I was hurt by the church, and now I'm, like, I don't really want to have anything to do with it, that kind of thing. I don't even know where that comes from, like, why, but, like, even to myself, I guess, to not be, like, these people, those people, but myself, like, I've had disappointment in ministry and in Christian authority and spiritual leaders that it's made it really hard to be like, wait, God, what do you want? And like, I need to separate like people from God because I think those have gone together. And maybe that's part of what you were saying earlier about like having your own faith and not letting it be just a continuation of your parents. But I feel like there's a lot of that where people have given up on church because they feel like it didn't really like have the root that they thought it did. And so when all of the like outward expressions kind of failed them, the Holy Spirit like descending, that sort of feeling of revival, when that sort of didn't lead to like some big life change or something, then people are like, eh, never mind, I'll go try something else because that was fun for a while, but now I'm going to do something else. But really, like, the kingdom of God is not like that. Like, it is really like everything that we need, and like our hope will not be like, we won't, it won't be disappointed when we're in the Lord. So like, what is it that young people are
like highs versus actually
like what are we missing, or why is that like
going from high to high instead of like digging in the trenches?
Because like, I love when you guys talk about like that hunger, like mom, you're saying it revived, like there's that hunger, but I've almost gotten scared of it because I feel like it's been abused in my life, where people are like, are you speaking in tongues? Well, do you have this, do you have that? And I'm like, I don't know, I just wanted Jesus. Do I have to have that to be following him? Because I just wanted like something real.
Something real.
So, church hurt. I just address that. I don't take it lightly. I don't. I know that it happens. I know that in situations where, like, there are situations where it can be abusive. But I think a lot of what you deal with now in your generation of saying church hurt isn't necessarily abusive. Hurt, you know what I'm saying? Like, there wasn't like, yeah, you know what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be bold here. I wonder if a lot of this is that being a Christian and being in love with the Lord is not easy. It takes work. It takes a daily dedication of your heart. It takes a dying to self. And a lot of young people don't want to put the work in.
Or die to themselves.
So church hurt, I feel, is used as like almost like a crutch. Mm-hmm. This has hurt me or this and whatever. And so, you know, it's really, I'll just do church on my phone kind of a thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. I really think a lot of it just comes back to he is God and he died for us. And Paul said, I die daily.
Yeah.
And it's even a reckoning with yourself to something. I mean, Heather and I have both had church hurts, right? We have.
For sure.
But, you know, you it comes to it. Am I here
right.
to get what I need from the church, or am I going to get it?
Right.
Going to get it mm-hmm. from the Lord. And yes, you get it from the Lord, but you need community as well.
Mm-hmm.
You just need that community. And, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I like that.
Can I say something really also?
Good. Yes.
Phoebe is here with us. We forgot to introduce her.
Yes.
But she tagged along today.
Because I'm like in the generation or whatever of young people.
Wait, can you move Mom's water bottle so we can hear you?
Yeah. I definitely noticed one thing about like hunger is that like people my age, they are there for it when it's exciting. Because we're like such a generation that's so stimulated.
Mm.
And so that constant stimulation mm-hmm. is like, we expect it. And so when we're in a dry season or like when we need to push through, like when it's not exciting and there's no feelings with it, like I don't feel the Lord speaking, I don't feel the Lord moving, it is a lot harder. And so like it's easy to kind of like go to something else or like go back to what we're stimulated by and whatever mm-hmm. is giving us something right in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so definitely I noticed that even with people that are hungry at our church, they kind of awaken when it's like, oh, the Lord's here. And then they go back and they kind of are in desolation because they can't keep continuing to like pursue when they're on their own and when they're in the quiet place.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big part of like the hunger that kind of just goes away.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not even so much of a generational thing, but remembering he's as much in the lows as he's in the highs. As he's
Yeah.
Yeah. He and you guys, I mean, when we were young, when I was a young wife, there was no cell phone, there was no YouTube, there was no Facebook. I mean, there was none of that. If you can imagine, all I had was
your Bible,
my Bible, and my Catherine Marshall book, or whatever I was into at the time. And I was hungry. I was hungry for the Lord. I and then when we were here at Rhema, that was pre-phones, that was pre-internet. And so now, I mean, even for myself, like you're saying, it's more of a discipline now than it used to be because I have so many more things competing at any moment in time.
Yeah.
I can get on a million different things on YouTube, which I do,
yeah.
you know, and follow every little bunny trail.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, so there is the discipline part of just denying the flesh and, of course, the distraction that the enemy wants to provide because the flesh is never going the flesh and the devil are never going to suggest to go to the secret place.
Yeah.
That's always going to be the spirit.
Right.
And
right?
you're never going to find a perfect church either. I mean, you're never going to be part of a church where you're going to say, this is exactly, this fills all of my needs.
Yeah.
You know, and I think too that sometimes people, myself included, I've gone through seasons where things happen that are extremely difficult or disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to reckon with God is still
God.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I am not in this for the promise of a perfect, easy, dreamy life that I think I'm entitled to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm here because I'm created by him for his purpose, whatever that is, and I have to surrender myself for it.
Yep.
And that's a lesson that we have to go through over and over again. And I even think that some of the political climate in our country for the last, you know, 7 years or whatever, 8 years that it's been, has been so extremely difficult and extremely disappointing and disillusioning for people.
Mm-hmm.
And that can derail.
Mm-hmm.
That can derail you.
Yeah.
We all, our disappointments in life can derail us.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, getting back to actually, no, it's just God is God.
It's not me anyways.
That's so
I'm
good.
All for eliminating distractions. I get on a social media cleanse like every
cleanse.
Like a sabbatical every couple months because I'm like, I'm done with this. less and less because of the content and more because I'm like, it's so distracting. It's so distracting. It fills up
so much time.
So much time and so much of my headspace. Mm-hmm. And I told mom, it's like whenever, or somebody was asking me, when do you decide to take social media breaks? And I was like, when I feel like I'm so fed up with my life mm-hmm. and I want any other life.
Yes.
That I'm like, that's when I know it's time to get off social media.
It promotes such comparison with other people that, like we've talked about.
Yeah.
You're either prideful or you feel awful about yourself, which none of them lead to a good a good result.
Yeah. With that. Comparison, and there's so many options of I can have this versus I can have this and I think even the putting myself number one versus dying to myself, like all of that, I think is
so I think for as older moms and to watch a lot of the anxiety that our kids are going through because of choices, there are too many choices. When I was looking at a college, you looked at the three colleges mostly that were close to you, and you decided between one of them. When I was a kid, there was Wheaties, Cheerios, Frosted Flakes to choose between, right? And now it's like all these choices in it. It's this, just promotes this thing of like, oh my gosh, you're making the wrong choice. Am I making the wrong choice? Am I making the wrong choice? And
That's so true.
It just really does that. True. And I know you ladies... just you talked about this too, but I when your heart is towards the Lord, if there is nothing in Scripture that tells you you should choose to eat Wheaties this morning, the choice is left up to you. And when your heart is towards the Lord, when you make a decision, He's going to honor you, not because of is it necessarily was A, B, or C right, but because your heart is towards your heart is towards Him. And I think, too, I don't know if that is part of the
anxiety,
but the hunger. And just like all of that, because we're talking about distractions. There's just too many choices.
That's true.
Yeah, too if that's contributing choices. To the not being as...
Yeah.
Because we're the temporarily kind of fulfilled, like you were saying, Phoebe, of
I think it, but I don't think just your generation. I just think it's across the board.
Across the board.
All of us that have phones and, you know, doing that.
What's your biggest piece of advice you would give to us about in general? What's one piece of advice?
We're taking notes.
You're going to speak to us and to everybody, which isn't very many people who listen to our podcast.
Hey, it's good.
But those who need to hear it. Whoever's listening there are the people who need to hear this. So what you wish someone would have told you while you were walking through the trenches of life in your 20s. Did you guys' 20s suck or no?
Was it this bad? Was it literally? They sucked because they weren't serving the Lord, so they sucked differently.
Yeah, I love my 20s, but they're hard.
I was not. I was off the rails in my early 20s. I got married to Dad when I was 24. And he, you know, he was a brand new Christian, basically. You know, he came to the Lord through me.
It's like missionary dating.
God was very gracious to me in that, but I just wish that I'd learned sooner, and I'm still learning, to not live by my feelings, to not trust in my feelings. The Word of God is the truth. No matter how you feel, no matter what things look like, the Word of God is the truth. And that's what we have to build our life on, period. And if we can do that, He never fails. So, you know, a lot of times I've lived in the up and downs of my emotions, and, you know, it's always because the enemy is always working to insert lies. And if you are willing to go off of the Word and believe in the lie, the feeling, it feels like God doesn't care. So I guess that's true. Mm. Well, what does the Word say?
Right.
I really draw a lot of encouragement from Elizabeth Elliot. When I was a young wife, I listened, I read. She was my spiritual mom in some ways. And I'm back to Elizabeth Elliot again. All her stuff is coming up on my YouTube feed.
I love it.
And I listened to a talk from her many days of the week. And it just, there's so much rich truth in what she shares. She has so much authority to back it up because of what, you know, she, you mm-hmm. know, lived. Mm-hmm. And it's just trust and obey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's good.
Mm-hmm. I would say the word, back to the word, too, that it's just so important to know what Scripture says, to read it for yourself as well, but to just to be in the Word daily. It's very, very important to keep oneself filled, just to keep following the Lord, but to be in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not bringing much wisdom to that other than it's just I feel very strongly about it. Very strongly that you know what the Word says and to memorize it and to just to, that is part of your day just as much as anything else, you know.
Yep.
We need to eat the Word
mm.
and to continue to ask the Lord to keep you hungry for it because as Heather was saying, you know, we go through seasons, we go through ups and downs, but the word of the Lord, endures forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is the one thing that you can
go
back to all the time.
That's good.
And along with that is if you go through a time when you're not, just say, okay, here, I'm back at it, to not be all condemn yourself or about it. Just say, okay, here I am, I'm back at it. To do that, but
I think I mentioned that in like my testimony podcast. Is that something that was something when I was really just getting deep with the Lord, remembering like you, Heather, Maribel, like you guys all made that pretty evident, I think, since we were young. The word to be hungry for the word, the Bible specifically. So I appreciate that for sure.
Dude, no more questions. That's amazing. I love it.
You don't want to ask you.
No.
You don't have your closing thing?
No, that was good. That was a great close. I feel like that's so... It's very helpful to bring it back to, like, one thing, I feel like, for people to be like, if nothing else from this podcast, to know that that is really where it all starts and ends is with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because... Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
If they received nothing else from this, that would be a win.
The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That's the scripture I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, Mom wants a random topic.
That's she does?
She was like,
I want to hear what you girls are going to ask
think of
each other. Oh, my gosh. I had thought of one, I thought.
Okay, good, because I didn't even think of any.
Wait.
Do they ask each other a random question at the end?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Mom's an Evan. Menopause story?
I don't have an embarrassing that one. That just...
How about your most embarrassing story from this week?
Is that even good?
I don't even have one. I mean, I should, but...
I bet you both do. Not embarrassing, but just... You guys just have funny stuff happening all the time.
We're getting boring. That's all right.
What's your favorite memory of her children growing up in your favorite...
I have a great one!
Oh, no.
Is this recording?
Yeah.
I was coming to your house one time for something. I don't know what. And I'm coming down the driveway, and there's Paul out on the roof in one of his superhero costumes. And I come in the house, and I go, Paul's on the roof in a cape of some sort. She goes, oh, that's all right, whatever. And I'm like, okay, I just thought you should know that he's up on the roof. I loved it.
That sounds like our house.
I spent so much time on that roof.
The roof, awesome. The treehouse. So, did you guys, I know Sally was sick and stuff, but did you ever have anyone have to go to the ER for a major injury? Because we didn't.
No.
I don't think you guys did either, did you?
Did you have any
tooth? Right?
Oh, Paul's teeth. But that's it.
His teeth?
He went over his teeth.
No.
But, like, how? How?
For as crazy as our home life was, nobody, no broken bones, no ER trips.
Paul also stepped on a pitchfork. I think Dad dealt with it. It went through his whole foot.
No tetanus shot for that?
Dad dips it in iodine.
No.
Windex or something.
Did you? Like, get the can of kerosene.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
No, I was going to say, for as many years as we lived on the edge, I don't think it's because we didn't get hurt that we didn't go to the ER.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, I think we got hurt, but...
Oh,
Oh, that's
funny. We good?
Well, Evan did shoot himself. With a BB gun. He got a BB gun, and he was over at the Chartrand's house, and he pumped it, and then put it on his sneaker and shot himself in the big toe.
Oh,
and he had to go to the ER to get it dug out.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, Andy didn't do that one on his own.
No. I think he tried.
That toe will never be the same.
No, he's got a funny line on that toe now. But he wanted to see if it would go through his sneaker. Well, it did.
He said he was trying to prove that the less you pump it, it doesn't have very much. And it wouldn't even go through his sneaker, but apparently it had been
pumped. That's the Evan I remember.
Oh my gosh.
What about you, Mom? Do you have a memory of Patrice's kids?
Oh, gosh.
It's okay if you
don't. I do. You know what comes to my mind? The first thing that came to my mind is little Becca. Little, like, I don't know, 10-year-old maybe, Becca. And she was just a talker. She would just talk and talk and talk. And I remember one time she came to my house for, I think it was like for an overnight. You were at a care leader's retreat or something. And Becca
and Megan Harney stayed with
me. Oh, that's when you lived down on 12.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yes. And they were little girls and they stayed with me. And they were you know, jumping on the trampoline, and Becca was telling me all the things. I want to be a writer, and I want to be a veterinarian, and I want to be like she
a
just
missionary.
Had all the yeah. She had all the things that she wanted to be when she grew up. She was she was just cute.
Aww.
Yeah, little Becca.
That's amazing. So.
Yes,
mine's not embarrassing, but I just remember playing olden days with Lizzie Doty.
Oh my!
And you would always be right in there with I thought you just wanted to play right with us. Like, you'd almost set the stage better than we would for the cabin's ready here, take your tea, take your biscuits. You always had biscuits for us to take. Like,
I love that.
Our bonnets ready,
our
dresses ready.
So
you were, like, in it as much as we were.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yep.
That's hilarious. That's so fun to think of you looking at me like a grown-up, because now, I mean, we're all grown-ups, right? But I don't know. As
you probably
adults,
did want to play with
as
adults. I bet she did.
You never feel grown up. That's the thing that you don't realize.
What?
Until you get older. Like, right now, don't you feel about the same as you ever did? I mean,
I feel like I still could be 18.
Right.
19. I feel like I stopped at, like, 21.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I'm a grandma now, but inside
you're ready
here,
to romp around.
I'm still a kid. Yeah. I'm still, you know, looking for fun.
She's still a kid in menopause.
Yeah, I'm like,
that could be the name of your podcast.
I have responsibilities. Anyway, it just feels
grow up.
There's something in our hearts. I just think it's spiritual, but there's something about us that wants to be a kid in
Absolutely.
Our father's house, and that's where we're headed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
I love it.
Yep.
Aw. That's like what I was thinking about earlier when you said Heather wanted to homeschool. I was thinking about when we were out on the trampoline and we were like playing that we were on like a train and running away or something. I just remember playing with you and Heather. Yeah.
That was one of the biggest things that I always recall is that Heather would beg you, Patrice, to be like, can I please be homeschooled by Heather, my mom? She's like, I just
want
to stay there. Because I would tell her, like, I just, like, hold the puppies and do my school. And she's like, what? I want
to. So my older kids always wanted Dawn Cornell to be their mother. And my younger kids wanted you, Heather, to be there.
That is so funny.
Like, those are some of the best memories, though, of just, like, being outside, being at the farm, having a place to just play and...
Yeah.
We were still 13 and doing that, and you weren't like, you girls are too old to do this. Go! Go, olden day girls!
That's right.
Like, gallivant! That's what we did. Yeah. So, it's good for spirit.
Here's the box of dresses.
That's fun.
I tried mine on last year. It fit.
Aww. Yeah.
Thank you, ladies, for
your
baby.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much. You brought the wisdom, just like we thought you would.
Yep, we do.
Wow.
So that's we're thankful for you guys for sure.
So much. Yes.
All right.
We're not gonna listen, but
no. Nope. This is the end of the
this
line
the
for
end
me.
Of it.
Aww.
Oh gosh.
I prefer to listen to other people.
Yeah.